This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Glad to have you here with us on Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester with you on a Monday, getting ready for another big week of sports, another big week of snow here in the Kansas area. Not looking forward to that, but we'll help you power through. Happy on your way to work day as well. We're sitting here. We're rocking and rolling. We got Max Power in studio. You can give us a call at 869-1240. That is the number to reach us. You can get in touch with us on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X. Those are all available for you as well. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. We've got all kinds of giveaways today. We got to get into a busy college basketball weekend. It's going to be a fun one. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, happy Monday. Good to see you today. Glad to be here with everybody and looking forward to jumping right in.
Let's get into it. It was an interesting college basketball weekend, wildly disappointing on two fronts and pretty exciting on the other, quite frankly. Wichita State gets its biggest win, certainly at Charles Koch Arena. It feels like about 4 or 5 years with that win over Memphis. The place was rocking. It was great to see. It felt old school with the energy level from everybody, the crowd, the players, everything. It was great. It really was a blast of the past. And hopefully now as they get a little momentum and a win streak, they can carry some of that through the rest of the season. And then for KU and K-State, opportunities blown, quite frankly. Two very, very, very disappointing losses for KU and K-State. One of could be the kind of loss that knocks you out of the NCAA tournament. Not quite there yet, but real, real close for K-State. And for KU, just the realization, I think, that this team's not nearly as good as we think it can be. We'll see what happens. They may fall out of the top 25 today, which is wild to think about for the preseason number one team in the country with everything they had coming back, plus the work they did in the portal. But here we are on a Monday, and that's sort of the state of the three programs. Right now, if the NCAA tournament started, we'd have one team in as a mid seed and two teams out. And it was a season where we thought we'd have two teams in for sure, and Wichita State would at least be in the conversation. That has not happened now 2 years in a row. And quite frankly, it's sort of a repeat of last year in a lot of ways. And, you know, I think in general terms, that kind of sucks, quite honestly.
Yeah, outside of a few moments here and there, it's been a wildly disappointing college basketball season, I would say, overall. You know, when you're comparing and contrasting all three of these teams, you know, Kansas started off pretty strong. They had some really good non-conference wins, but it's been, you know, pretty mediocre ever since then. Kansas State, you know, outside of just the three game or the six game winning streak that they had, where they were knocking off the top 25 teams that they were doing in succession and order, it, you know, definitely gives you a taste in your mouth of what could have been for the Wildcats. And then for Wichita State, yeah, I mean, you know, we know the struggles with the Shockers. That was a great win for them. Yes, on when was that? Yesterday against Memphis. And so, you know, again, it's kind of a what could have been a little bit for Wichita State as well. You know, that being said, I mentioned this on social media yesterday. I certainly didn't have on my bingo card that out of the three games over the weekend that KU and K-State would both put up stinkers against teams that are not in the top 25, but then Wichita State would beat a team in the top 25. Certainly didn't have that one planned.
Yeah, look, K-State's loss is far more forgivable on the road at BYU than the KU loss to Utah. That's just the way it is. Like that's the one that really, now the implications of K-State's loss are probably larger, I guess we could say. But as far as expectations, that was the one that you didn't really think a whole lot about. Utah is not that good. They're just not when you're KU anyway. And now we sit here and look at them. BYU, you know, leaped up there with K-State. I mean, with KU in the standings of the Big 12. If that, you know, so K-State going on the road and losing at BYU, that was outside of the three, you know, power games, you could call them, that they had left. This was the one, this was the next hardest game. And so that one, and it's the same thing that got them, right? A slow start. It's always, they have that one bad run in a game. They couldn't overcome it this time on the road in that place. KU kind of just from start to finish, like, you know, just what, and we'll dig into all this. We've got Wyatt Thompson joining us next segment to talk about the K-State piece of this, but it's been such a strange year for college basketball, and it is, it's just not good. It's just not good, right? Like, it's not, this is not what we expected collectively at all, And I think of, you know, it's dumb to say who's been the most disappointing of the three. Because they've all on their own different levels have been disappointing. I think if you're a fan of any of those teams, you would say, well, mine is the most disappointing, right?
I mean, I was going to say it was KU. But yeah, you know, when you're preseason number one and you've got, you know, a loaded roster, and then this has been the output, you know, the outcome for this team. I think it's got to be KU, because I think some national title expectations, or at least hopes, with this team going into the season. And that's way out the window now.
But at least they're still going to have the opportunity to play for it. You know, like K-State's not even going to, you know, K-State needs a miracle now to even reach the tournament in a year where we thought they might be in line to try to play games here as a, you know, a two, a three, a seed, you know, whatever that seed might have been. And for Wichita State, I think, you know, that's amazing that they got that win and they need to build on it. But the impending doom of that program is a little different, I think, based on what we've seen. So they're all bad. That's what I mean. Like, it depends probably on who you're a fan of. Whichever team you're a fan of is probably who you feel like has had the most disappointing run, because it's been disappointing for you as a fan of that team. And it's and we'll get into all of it. Except, you know, I don't want to say anything negative about Wichita State today. That's the kind of win, honestly, that can turn the tides of a program. And I don't want to like overstate that, but look, on a four game win streak now, if they can carry that game into some momentum, they've got a tough one immediately Thursday. At least they get some time before it. But if they can carry that into winning a bunch of these games down the stretch and they still find themselves somewhere in the top half of the AAC, I think you could at least get on board with that, right? So like you could look at this win as a linchpin for the program. If things go well, there's no doubt about it. That's the biggest win they've had. Everyone kept bringing up the ranked game against Houston in 21. Maybe you just go back that far.
I think you do. I mean, it's the biggest win in 4 years. It's definitely the signature
The Paul Mills era. Well, sure. And it may, but like, that's what I mean. It may have even surpassed that one. And I think I was at that one. It was a great environment, but that team that's been such a thorn in the Shockers side, this year when they are real good, it just feels really nice. And the circumstances of the game too. Look, it's an overtime win, and we're going to dig into it, but it's an overtime win, right? It's a win where it felt like two or three different times where like the air went out of the balloon and they just kept battling back. I think that all played into it too, but we'll get into all of this. We're going to have K-State talk next with Wyatt Thompson. So stay tuned for that. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here on KFH. We are glad to have them with us. We're going to give away lots of prizes today. We're going to give away a cruise, an opportunity, I should say, to get on a cruise. We're going to give away an opportunity to get out to Vegas for some March college basketball. We're going to give out some HTO. So we have all of those things coming for you. Again, lots of different ways to get in touch with the program. You can do that each and every day here on Sports Daily. Glad to have you with us. It's all Brockton Caster on a Monday. We'll be right back.
If I was governor, I'd sure find better things to do with my time.
Like what?
Like getting Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday back as separate paid holidays. President's Day. What a ripoff.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. You can listen to KFH Radio for your chance at the ultimate trip to Vegas in March. Winning's easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, listen to KFH Radio. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry. It includes travel and accommodations for four to Las Vegas, plus $20,000 spending cash. Get all the info with the national contest right there at KFHradio.com. Stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas's premium sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim. We welcome you back in here on a Monday. Wyatt Thompson joining us bright and early from Utah. Wyatt, we appreciate it. Did you guys get a preview of this storm blowing in here? I assume you did. Whatever's coming. Yeah. How's it looking?
Well, it's not so bad here. It's not nearly as cold as it is in Kansas. And frankly, we were supposed to get some snow yesterday, and we went to grab a hamburger last night, and on the way, it's probably 30-ish degrees. We had snow, sleet, and rain in about a 12-minute drive.
Gross.
But generally speaking, it's been pretty good. The basketball, not so much, but the weather's been okay, and it's frigid in Kansas and apparently going to get worse before it gets better. And, of course, we get home in the middle of the night when it's really happening, I think, so... Yeah, here we go again. Seems like we've been on the road forever, by the way. This trip is hard.
It's a hard, and it didn't start, you know, we had hoped it, you know, wouldn't start hard, but it did. And now it's got to finish tonight. There's no, you know, quick nature to it. So let's start with Saturday. What happened Saturday?
Well, to be honest, when you go back and you look at K-State's 6-game winning streak, for me, it all started with energy. And that led to good offense, good defense, a lot of good everywhere. In this game, the fight early easily was won by BYU. I thought they set the tone. K-State early did a good job of taking away their threes. I thought, and the evidence of that would be a 3-of-14 start for one of the better three-point shooting teams in the league. And they have several guys that can shoot the ball. But sometimes when you take things away, you give up something. And I thought the aggressiveness of BYU with their bigs and the results of that put K-State behind the eight ball early. It was 11-9 at the first media timeout, but then from the under 16 to the under 12, that segment of the game probably decided it, because it went from 11-9 to like 26-12. And when you look at the big guys, and I'm basically talking about Kaba Keita, who had 9 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 blocks. He probably was the main guy, but then Traore also was good. He had 11 and 4 with a block. You combine that, K-State also goes 9 for 33 from the floor in the first half. They just were never in sync really from the get-go. And I credit some of it to BYU. And I think, as Coach mentioned in post-game, he felt like he did a poor job and the team did a poor job of getting ready for BYU. The truth is BYU made some adjustments and played a little different than they had been playing. And I think it shocked K-State a little bit, honestly.
It certainly seemed to me, Wyatt, that that BYU made a concerted effort to do what they could to limit, or at least try to shut down, the combination of Coleman Hawkins and David Gasson. Those guys combined were 5 of 16 shooting, and they didn't shoot the ball well in general, but I also felt like that was a little bit of the BYU game plan, was to do what they could to shut them down.
100%. And when you look at the box and you see Gasson goes 3 for 7 with 6 points and 6 rebounds, and Coleman is 2 of 9 with 6 points and 8 rebounds, you're probably not going to win most road games in this league doing that. You might be able to get by with it a little bit at home with the home crowd juice and that kind of stuff if you have some other guys step up. But then you look at Max Jones and Brendan Hawson combined, were 6 of 20. You know, there's other than Doug, there was really nowhere to turn, and that was the disappointment of it. You know, K-State did kind of get back a little bit in the second half. And by a little bit, I meant within shouting distance, okay? It wasn't like they were threatening to win the game at that point, but you're down at halftime big. It's 40-22, and I think they got back to within maybe 11 or 12. And then in a heartbeat, you know, it's back to 18-20, and just don't have much chance.
There's just so little wiggle room in everything that K-State does down the stretch. I don't know that loss sinks them. If you look at the net this morning, it had almost no impact on K-State, kind of like a lot of these wins have had almost no impact, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to take a collection of work. I don't think that one singularly did it, but I also don't think they can lose probably any of the next 5, maybe 6. I mean, what do they got here? 6-1 down the stretch to put themselves squarely back in the conversation?
It's interesting talking to a couple of people yesterday associated with the program. One being an assistant coach, and we were talking a little bit about what remains, and he hit on that a little bit too. He said, look, we want to win all the games, right? But understanding in this league on the road, it's difficult. And he credited BYU too, a little bit like I did, that they kind of messed K-State up from the get-go, and the Cats never recovered. But because of the loss, it isn't like the absolute worst thing ever if you can come back and play really well the rest of the way out. Now, again, that puts more pressure on you. The wiggle room is a lot less, as you said. And frankly, it probably starts tonight here. They just beat Kansas, as you guys know, played decently well in doing it. Clearly, KU wasn't their best by 1,000 miles, I suppose. But this is a team that I think you can get on the road. You've also got some winnable games coming up. We'll see how it plays. But that's the thing that probably is the biggest stinger for me, is that they were 39th in the net, BYU, coming in. And if you got that one on the road, it gives you another road win, which helps the resume. You beat a top 40 team in the net, which helps the resume. And those things didn't happen.
It was another big game on Saturday, Wyatt, for Doug McDaniel, and we talked about him a little bit a couple minutes ago, but just his impact, even in a losing effort for the Wildcats. I mean, without his offensive output on Saturday, the outcome would have been significantly worse. So even when things are not going the way of the Wildcats, McDaniel has solidified himself as the main number one offensive option for this team. And just in general, what he brings on both ends of the court, that's encouraging, again, even when you do have an outcome like you do on Saturday.
I agree with you, Tommy. I think it's a good point because Doug is, I think, in a really good place right now, mentally, physically, confidence-wise. I mean, if you look at him, it wasn't just he had 22 points. He was 9 of 16, right? Let's be honest. He's been really good lately, but he hasn't had many games of 9 of 16 and 3 of 7 from 3. Had just two turnovers. Now, he only had two assists. But part of that was, I mean, if you look at it, and I think this is telling, K-State had 25 main field goals in the game and only six assists. So they were a little discombobulated, right? But up and above and beyond, and to continue what you're saying there, his steady play, if he can keep that up, I don't think David and Coleman are going to play like that a lot the rest of the way out. And again, the margin of error is razor thin now, of course. But you hope with the growth of Moby, and you know, Moby had 4 points and 7 rebounds, and that may not sound like a lot, but when those other guys aren't doing a whole heck of a lot, it meant something for sure. And I think CJ is starting to figure some things out. You know, Max is what he is, but he had a 3-for-10 night. And this is going to sound like I'm knocking the officiating a little bit, and I wasn't overly happy with it, but I don't know that I'd ever seen a guy get knocked out of bounds and no call before. I mean, he literally got knocked out of bounds on the baseline on the end to our left. But it was a hard night for him because they were just muscling him up. And that's one thing they could do here at home. They've got some veteran guys, whether it's Foose or whether it's, you know, with Kay Bakeda or some of those. Trevin Nell's been around a long time. Dallin Hall, those guys know how to play.
Well, yeah, that's part of the difficulty of going on the road is you don't always get the whistle. So they're still on the road. It's a quick turn, a situation where maybe a quick turn is a good thing. We saw what Utah was able to do to KU. What do we need to look for tonight?
Well, I think the two biggest guys you have to try to cover up is the obvious one is Gabe Mattson. He's been around a long time, played nearly 120 games, had 5 threes against Kansas. Now, he takes a lot of shots. I noticed this going into the weekend. I put it into perspective for you. I think it was 242 shots for Coleman Hawkins, 310 in roughly the same amount of games for Gabe Mattson. That's a fairly significant difference, but he can score, and he's streaky. You have to not let him get off early, I suppose. And then the other guy is a forward by the name of Ezra Asar. If you watch the KU game, you see him play with really, really good energy. Those two guys are pretty solid. The other guys, I think, are what I'll describe as pieces that they try to fit, and sometimes they're pretty good, sometimes they're a little bit inconsistent. In this game, though, Wallin had 10 against Kansas, and it was, I think, only the third or fourth game he's been in double figures all year long. But they have some length at the rim, and they play a lot of guys. They play 10, 11 guys, so I don't know that you necessarily wear them out. But again, I'll say it. I think it's a winnable game, but I'm sure, Kay, you thought that too, right? No question about that. So you just have to go and put yourself in a position to be in it late, I think. And they're just, the bottom line is just simply this. K-State cannot play like they played the other night and probably win this one either. They've got to be better, and they know it.
Wyatt, before we let you go, we'd be remiss to not mention and give you a couple minutes to talk about Greg Sharp, former voice of the Wildcats, had been at Nebraska for a long time, your predecessor there in Manhattan. You know, there aren't very many people that have been able to do what you do for a living for the Wildcats, and Greg Sharp was one of them and one of the best for sure. Passed away over the weekend after a battle with pancreatic cancer. Obviously, his impact is felt far and wide. I'll give you the floor if you have a couple minutes that you want to speak about that.
I appreciate the opportunity, and I hope I don't get too emotional about this. Greg was a friend and one of the best people I've known in the broadcast business over the years. Stan said one time that listening to him call a game was like sitting in a rocking chair, made you just so comfortable and so informed. And I thought that was as good a compliment as you could possibly give the guy, on top of the fact that he was all the things in life that you'd want. Great person, great husband, great father, a fighter to the end. I mean, he did it with grace. I think you could tell the kind of guy he was for how beloved he is at Kansas State, but also how Husker Nation took to him over the course of his time there, being the lead football and baseball guy. A special person. Whether you talk to me, Stan, Mitch Holthus, any of the people that really knew him, he, like the rest of us, I suppose, he always wanted to do this. He always had that dream. And boy, was he good at it. We're going to miss him. Hugely and supremely talented person. I'm just glad I got to spend a little time with him in the summer when that fight started to go downhill a little bit, because we had such a good day. A whole bunch of us drove up there and had lunch with him and stuff. And I'll never forget it. He's just a great guy.
Greg Sharp over the weekend. We appreciate that, Wyatt, taking the time for that. And it's a big hole for K-State Nation. I know it is, and I know it's hard for you. So we do appreciate you giving us that insight there on that line.
Absolutely. Thank you, fellas. I appreciate that.
We'll have Wyatt on the call tonight. So stay up late with the Wildcats. See if they can get right back on track, because it will be a late night. We appreciate the early morning here. We'll all power through it with you, Wyatt. And
absolutely.
See if they can't get this thing turned around. Look, it's not the end of the world as long as they get right back to where they were and they get
right.
an opportunity to do it. So hopefully they can.
Yeah, good effort and make some shots early, kind of set the tone. You probably have a shot. Let's see if they can do that. I hope they can.
All right. Wyatt Thompson, we appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you, fellas.
You know, Tommy, I think K-State built themselves a little bit of cushion for that one because they were able to get both Arizona and Kansas. So it doesn't have to be a huge deal. The net certainly doesn't think it's highly impactful. Certainly would have been more impactful had they been able to win it. But that's probably it, right? Like, you can't really, and it's hard to say it now because everybody has enough games left to play where, yeah, they could lose another game and get in. Like, but man, it'll be close. And they are going to have to, a part of the reason you liked their chances is because they're catching some sort of national momentum. I don't think their net's going to make it a shoe-in. I don't think anything they can do outside of winning the Big 12 tournament the rest of the way will make it a shoe-in, because they'll have too many losses for that to be the case. At 12, now you're in that range where you've got too many. So we'll see. But they need to recapture some of that. Man, K-State's red hot. They're the best team in the nation right now. That they got to recapture some of that, or it's going to be tough.
It was encouraging to see Joe Lunardi after the games on Saturday, yesterday, putting out bracketology, and Kansas State was still in the next four out. So, yeah. You know, they obviously didn't play their way in or improve their standing at all, but at least they didn't totally drop out to where they weren't even listed. So there's still work to do for sure. You know, look, I think that if they can, they're going to have to go on another, you know, five or six game winning streak, yeah, like they did before. And if they can do that, if they can close out Big 12 play that way, then you're looking at 19-12 to end the regular season. You win a game or two in the Big 12 tournament. You're looking at a resume of 21-13, probably somewhere around there. Is that enough to get you in? It might very well be if you can take a look at, you know, those big wins they had early in the conference season. So it's going to come right down to the wire if they can get back to where they were playing before. If they don't, if they stumble again, well, then that conversation is out the window.
Yeah, and look, the Lunardi has them in, that's great, but they're not like a consensus right now because the others
are. They don't have them in. He doesn't have them in. He has them as the next four out.
On his
sheet. Listed in the sheet, right.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't. So they're all really good at what they do. It just, I think it speaks to the fact that they're very much a who knows on the fringe of being like, out, right? And if they're on the next whatever it is for, that means they've got a lot of teams they have to jump. Now this team is good enough to go on a run in the Big 12 tournament. They've beat the best outside of Houston, but if they can win a couple of tournament games too, that's also going to mean a great deal for them. So here we go, win against Utah and everything's right back at it. But man, if they slip, that's where it's going to be hard.
I do think, going back to my point with Wyatt about Doug McDaniel, the fact that even in a game where offensively things were not coming easy for the Wildcats and shots were not falling for Kansas State, Doug McDaniel was still able to be effective offensively. I think that's important, because if it was just a poor collective outing overall for Kansas State, that'd be hard to bounce back 48 hours later and try to find a way to get things in a groove again. If you can continue to have a consistent Doug McDaniel, even if other pieces aren't falling, even if other pieces aren't working in a game against a team like Utah, I mean, let's be real. Utah's not as good as BYU is. That's going to help out Kansas State. So that was encouraging that even in a loss, even in a double-digit loss over the weekend on the road, Doug McDaniel was still consistent. That should bode well again tonight.
I'll take it a step further. I think he and because Hawkins, if you want to know the impact of Coleman Hawkins, I think you can look at that game, it was the worst one he's played in a while, like a long time. Maybe it's one of his worst of the season. Tommy, it is a really kind of just like gross Monday, I think, for KU fans. Rick is fired up as you knew he would be on a Monday. Great KU fan says nobody on the team cares. How could you not see it coming from a mile away? You could see it. Everyone could see it coming a mile away. You just don't know when it's coming, right? You know this is coming from a mile away, but like when is it coming from a mile away? This happened to be one of those times, and you can see that, but then you can see a 17-point win against Iowa State coming from a mile away. And it's so unpredictable when this team's going to show up and be like the best version of it. I'm not even really sure in totality what it is, but it is. And they're not nearly as good as we thought they would be. I think everybody would agree that they're far more talented than they were a year ago. And that might make this even more disappointing because it's just like I don't know what it is that they can't figure out and why they can't find any consistency whatsoever on a team full of seniors, on a team with as good a portal class as there was, like all of it. It is just so wildly, wildly disappointing on 1,000 different levels.
Well, I think what's been shocking, and this has been a development, I think that's relatively new, and I'll explain why, but relatively new, at least over the last couple of weeks, is watching that game against Utah over the weekend. There were a lot of individual efforts that were made. There wasn't a whole lot of collective efforts that were made, I felt like, with this team. It was almost kind of like, and DeJuan Harris even said it after the game, that guys were playing for the name on the back of their jersey, not the name on the front of their jersey. And I definitely agree with that because I felt like there wasn't a whole lot of collective buy-in in that game. That's a relatively new development. I think that what we've seen is this team has progressed from a really good team at the beginning of the season to a really good team playing poorly at about the middle of the season to now they're just not a very good basketball team. And I think that that's kind of been the progression that at least I've noticed from the start of the season to now, where for me, it's less about like, man, hey, they've got the talent. They've got what they need. They just need to execute to, are they really even that good? Because I don't really feel like when I'm watching them that, yeah, they might have raw talent individually. They might have individually talented players, but I certainly don't feel like they're a very talented team right now. I don't feel like they're playing like a very talented team. I just don't think that they're very good. And I think that that's reared its ugly head over the last few weeks.
It's a strange dynamic. I think they have a Hunter Dickinson problem. I do. I've felt that way all year. You know I have. It felt like I was being unkind early on, where I was like, I just don't know. But I think they're too reliant on him offensively, and he's just not the kind of physical force to be able to do that. Like, he's so gifted offensively. We can all see that. Like, his skill level is very high offensively. But then most of the other stuff feels like it's a bit of a liability, and they just can't overcome that. They're too reliant on him, and he's just not going to be able to be that for them. And they can't get anybody else to step up and be like, if I imagine, and it's hard for me to like, imagine if they had a guy like Ochai Agbaji on this team, not in the sense that like, yeah, he's awesome and was a Naismith guy, but I mean somebody else that when you walk into the gym, it's not like that's the dude, right? Cause I just don't think Hunter Dickinson is the dude, but they need him to play like he is and be that. And he's just not, and they don't, and then they can't get anybody else to just be that. Right. And I think that problem for them all year. I think it was probably a problem for them last year, even though we maybe didn't realize it as much. But it's just like this particular combination is not the right one. And they've been sort of stuck in it for 2 years. And it's not just him, right? It's that DeJuan Harris is not an offensive force. It's that KJ Adams is not an offensive force. So you put those three together and like it's too much on Hunter Dickinson. That's not what he is. And I think that's part of the problem. And I don't know what you do to fix it, because when it does work, it's good enough to beat anybody. I mean, that's the maddening part. Like, this is a team that is capable. I'm not saying they will, so don't misunderstand, but capable of, based on what we've seen this year, they beat anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere. Can they, you know, like, so it, I don't even, it's just so crazy that we've been doing this now for 2 years with this.
There are a lot of factors and a lot of things that play into it. You know, you mentioned the Hunter Dickinson element to it, which is all true. It's all well. And, you know, like that, I agree with you on that. There's also, I think, the DeJuan Harris and KJ Adams impact, where this isn't a knock on them. I just think it's reality that both of those guys are at about their ceiling. I don't think they're getting any better. Like, who DeJuan Harris is and who KJ Adams is, we see it night in and night out. It is what it is. Like, and kind of same way with Hunter Dickinson too. He is who he is. I just don't think that with DeJuan Harris especially, like, there really wasn't even a time early on in his KU career where I looked at him and I thought, yep, that's the guy that's going to get 35 plus minutes a game. I think that he does nice things. I think he can be a good piece for this team. Don't get me wrong, but the lion's share of the, you know, distribution responsibility is on his shoulders running that offense. And I'm not sure that, like, not that he's not capable of doing it. I'm just not sure that, like, I think he's at his apex. I think KJ Adams and the spark that he brings, that's what he does. And I don't think that putting the lion's share of responsibility in, whether it's on offense or defense, in that position is really, it's not doing what it needs to do. I think that he's about hit his ceiling as well. Then you combine all three of those guys and the fact that they're all about at their ceiling and they're not going to do anything more than what they're already doing, with newcomers on the team who are just wildly inconsistent and they have short leashes, and depending on how they play in a certain game, they may end up, you know, sitting on the bench, really outside of Zeke Mayo. The other ones are like that for sure. Some days they have it, some days they don't. And it turns into what we see right now for the Jayhawks. Three veterans who are performing about the best that they can do, but it's not enough. And then newcomers who you never know what you're going to get from them.
And maybe the leash is too short. And I know that that's a lot of fans think that it is, that it's way too short for the other players. That's not anything new for Bill Self, but it is something that maybe needs to be readjusted in the portal era, because pretty soon you're not going to have anybody with the kind of experience and trust that he has in those three guys. I mean, if you just look at the roster right now, like, that experience, however it looks, is not going to be there, that trust for Bill Self next year. So it's going to take an adjustment for a guy who's been one of the best in the business to see if he can readjust to this way of thinking. And there's a decent chance that he can. There's plenty of old,
it brings up learning new tricks.
Look at Rick Pitino right now.
Yeah, it brings up a great question. And it brings up, you know, I think kind of what the discussion has become is, in this world of college basketball, what Bill Self has been able to do well over the course of his career, he's not able to do at the extent that he used to be able to. Not the same way. Like, think of all of the guys that stayed at KU that he developed over multiple years. You mentioned Ochai Agbaje. He's probably the poster child for that. And the steps that he took from year one to year two to year three to year four, you know, Jalen Wilson was that way. Like, all of these guys, Devontae Graham was that way, like, taking multiple steps forward.
David McCormick, a guy who started in the doghouse, right? Like, he couldn't get out of the doghouse for like 3 years. And then he was the biggest reason they won an NCAA tournament. Like,
they had the luxury, and Bill Self was great at this, the luxury of developing players and having them come along over time. You don't really have that luxury anymore in college basketball. And so I think it's going to be, it's a really intriguing intriguing discussion to have. Like, how can Bill Self adjust? And keep in mind, there have been multiple times over the years that he's brought in one and duns, like really highly touted one and duns.
Yeah.
Did they win national championships with one and duns? Not really. No. Like, you know, like those guys made major impacts for sure individually, but it was the teams that he was able to develop over time that ultimately took home the biggest prize.
I'm trying to think of the big key transfers that have come in. Kevin McCullough was one, and Kevin McCullough stuck around for a while and then got hurt. So
Remy Martin was probably the most.
Remy Martin,
one.
You got to remember, wasn't impactful until the very end of the season.
You're right.
And so those two come to mind the last couple of years. And I'm trying to make sure I'm not forgetting anybody. He's had transfers though, even before the transfer portal. So at least the current state of the transfer portal, but it's going to take an adjustment. And that's where it gets back into these big three. Look, when Harris and Adams and Dickinson are at their best, KU's really hard to beat. Like that's, you know, some of their best wins are when those three are collectively playing well. It's what has to happen when they're not. What does that adjustment look like? KJ Adams was really bad against Utah. Hunter Dickinson was by his standards really bad against Utah. So, like, you can't have that happen. Those guys can't have 9 fouls collectively. And so what is the adjustment then if any one of the three is not feeling it? And which of these other players are going to get enough trust over the next month, which could happen? Look, at the end of the day, there is time with adjustments for KU to be better than, no, is it good enough? I don't know. But can they be better than what we saw on Saturday? That's where I think, okay, we've got a month left. And I do think in the final months of seasons, at least in the 10 years that I've, or 11 now, or 12, whatever it is, that I've followed Bill Self programs closely, there are certainly years where they have gotten better in this small stretch of time that usually comes, and I say this all the time, for KU, it usually comes in that they develop into this defensive powerhouse. Now, can that happen with the newer players? I don't know. But is there room for one of these guys outside of Zeke Mayo to right this second take on that bigger role? And I think
is there a chance? Sure. Is it likely? No, I don't think
because and that's where it goes into those players, though. Are they capable? And that's what I don't know.
But I think it goes deeper than that. I really genuinely do, because the word that you used it like 3 times in that, you know, narrative that you just laid out there. And that word is adjustment. It's going to require adjustments from Bill Self that I don't think he's going to do. Because keep in mind, when teams that Bill Self has coached have been able to really make the adjustments like deep in a season and become quote unquote defensive powerhouses and things like that, by and large, you're talking about players that have already been on the court for a long period of time. Like, they've earned the trust of Bill Self. So you're talking about adjustments with current players that are on the court that are getting the lion's share of the minutes. In this regard, I think you're going to need to see players that are not getting the lion's share of the minutes get more.
That's what I'm
and
saying.
Then be able to develop. And that's not going to happen.
That's what I'm talking.
That's not going to happen.
There, we'll look at this more in the second hour because we're right up against it. There's a lot to discuss. We'll get to the Shockers as well in hour number 2. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back in to another hour of Sports Daily. We are glad to be with you. A little salty this morning in terms of KU and K-State's performances over the weekend. Great performance by the Shockers, though. Over the weekend. We'll get back into KU in just a minute because I think there's a lot to digest and work through there. But let's take a minute here, Tommy, for the Shockers. I was not at the game. I know a lot of people were because it was you know, whether it was a packed house or not, it looked great on television and it sounded great on television. The listed attendance of 6294. it just that felt like what we all love about Shocker basketball over the years. It felt like that energy was back there, and the players did not disappoint. They delivered with it. And I got to tell you, if I'd have told you it was a game where Xavier Bell was only able to play 18 minutes because of foul trouble based on things that we saw, I mean, come on. Like, that was, that's a performance. Now, you want that, that's, and man, that makes you feel good, right? It makes you feel good. It makes me, at least in the moment, forget about losses to some of the bad teams in the American and get back to what we think this team ought to be able to do this year and ought to be capable of doing this year. And now we're to this point of the season where, hey, it's a 4-game win streak. Okay. Two of those wins are at South Florida and home against Memphis. Those are pretty good wins. Now they have some tough games left on the schedule, and they've got some that aren't so tough. At least don't lose any that you shouldn't lose, and see if you can keep it going. We got a little bit of this at the very end of last year into the NCAA tournament. Maybe it started earlier this year, Tommy, and we could see something where Wichita State ends this season in a place closer to where they thought they might have been able to start it. They've got some work to do if they want to climb into that. I think we said, or I said, at least I'm going to put where, because I think I said top four. They will need to make up some ground to get there, but they play two of those teams they would have to pass to get there. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with bringing that type of energy to a program when you see them get that kind of win, because it shows you what they're capable of. I think as much as anything else, it shows you what the program is still capable of. As low as it's felt for so many times this year, that high is still there. And man, it's right there. It's right there on the court. It's right there off the court. It's right there with the fan base. It's right there if they can just go take it.
Well, think about it this way. If you would have told anybody when the Shockers were 1-7 in conference play and 11-10 overall, that 4 games later they would be 5-7 in American play and 15-10 overall, with one of those wins being an upset over a ranked Memphis team, I don't think anybody would have believed you that, you know, that like that's where we are right now with a 4-game winning streak and the top 25 upset. So it's incredibly meaningful. Yeah, like they do have a hole they've got to dig themselves out of. When you start 1-7 in conference play, that's a pretty deep hole that you've got to dig yourself out of, but they're well on their way to do that. You used the phrase at the very beginning of the show when we were just briefly talking about Wichita State. You said that that's the kind of win that can turn the tide for a program. I would rather say, and you may be right there, I would rather say, though, it's the kind of win that you can build off of, because I don't know if a singular win like that against Memphis just automatically turns things around, but I do think you can build off of it. It can be a foundation. It can be, you know, part of the building block to get things, you know, turned around. I think holistically it can be a large part of it. I'm not sure singularly it's the only thing, but it definitely is a really good start. And the fact that they've won 4 in a row and they found themselves in an opportunity to, you know, continue to improve where they stand in the conference, that's fantastic.
Yeah, we're saying the same thing. It is that win, but it is that win is a part of a 4-game win streak. It is that win came on national television, and it is that win came in front of the best crowd we've seen in that arena in a long time. It's all of those things, but it is the thing to me that can, and look, when we talk about things like turning around a program, that's a really fluid term. What does that mean? To me, it just means momentum and energy back into a program, right? That's what it means to me. Going into this season, I think there was some of that there, and they had, once they got to conference play, a wildly disappointing start to conference play. They had been, that's a part of what was so frustrating about that, is because we saw in the non-con that this team was, they had a lot of good wins, like really good wins. And it's like, okay, here we go. And then the air got let out, and it got not just let out, like it got let out across the board. And it's like, no way. Like, there's no way that we're doing this again. Well, now they're on a 4-game win streak, and they can cap that 4-game win streak with a win like that. I think that's a totally different energy for everything about Wichita State basketball, which is what's needed for Wichita State basketball, that energy back. And of course that starts on the court. Of course it does. And once you can get it, that energy gets contagious. And maybe if it continues through whatever this season holds, it carries you into an offseason, into next season, which is all what we all know. Like and it's not that we don't say the most important part out loud. We say it out loud all the time, but we all know that it must carry into an offseason that allows Wichita State to go get players. Like, you can call it the elephant in the room if you want to. I don't even think that's not even the case anymore. This is what college athletics is now. If you're going to get good players here, you got to have a good program and you got to have the capital to go do it. And you're not going to raise that capital without a good product on the court, on the field, on the whatever it is you want to describe. So getting to that point right now is mission critical for this program being back to where we thought it, where we think it should be, which is not middle of the pack and in a bad American Athletic Conference, nowhere near where they should be. There's no, and again, this is my opinion. There is no reason that this program should not be in the same footing as Memphis. There is no reason. There's not, to me. But they haven't been successful enough to even be in the same conversation lately. So this is the kind of thing, when I say turn it around, that's what I mean. Like, this can be a lightning rod moment to build that energy moving forward through the rest of the season. But it's thin ice, man. It is thin ice. And they can't have one of those duds creep its way in the American Athletic Conference. And you go, you know, lose to Tulsa or something. It's just like,
well, here's where I'm at today, 24 hours or less than 24 hours after probably the largest win in half of a decade for Wichita State. I don't want to spend time talking about, well, now they can't follow it up with a dud. I want to spend an appropriate amount of time celebrating this team and being positive about the fact that it was a massive, massive victory for Wichita State. And they were clutch, and they, you know, hit the shots when it counted. They did what they needed. A guy who, honestly, I have heard probably more criticisms of in his time wearing a Shocker uniform than maybe anybody else is Bijan Cortez. Yeah. Everybody I talk to,
glad you brought
he
him
gets
up.
Criticized yeah. nonstop from Shocker faithful. And he had the best game of his career yesterday. Against Memphis. He made the shot that ultimately led to Wichita State winning the game. I know Xavier Bell hit the free throws at the end to ice it, but it was Bijan Cortez's shot that led Wichita State to winning that game. And, you know, it was so great to see somebody who's been much maligned while wearing a Shocker uniform. And you know what? Sure, some of the criticisms are probably appropriate. He does turn the ball over too much, sometimes plays fast and loose in his ball handling, all of that. But he had a legacy game for Wichita State. If he wasn't on the court, Wichita State doesn't win that game yesterday. And so that was great. And so rather than talking about shoulda, coulda, woulda, rather than talking about the hole that they dug themselves in early in the conference season, or how they cannot afford to follow up a win like this yesterday with a dud against a team that's inferior to them in the conference, I want to spend a minute appreciating and talking about the importance of the fact that they just had the biggest win in probably half a decade or longer with this program, one that they desperately needed and one that I'm so happy that they finally got.
Yeah, they went out and they did it, and they did what we knew they were capable of, and that matters. And that's what I mean, especially when you don't have Bell, who has been that dude for them lately for most of that game. It is of all of it, you can't do that unless you play old school Shocker basketball. Old school. Get ugly, get nasty. You look on the floor and you see the size and all the things, the athleticism that Memphis brings to the table, right? And you out-rebound them? Hell yeah. That's Shocker basketball. And it almost, you know, the offensive rebounding prowess the Shockers showed through the game, like it was kind of emotional watching it, because then you started to see toward the end of the game, Memphis was getting all those second chance opportunities. And you're like, no, like they've been able to do this all game long. And is it finally running out? Cause Memphis is just so big and, you know, all the things that they're great at. And it was no, like every time they dug their heels in, and they brought that energy. And that has always been what makes Shocker basketball so special. So love it. Love it. What a game. It was a blast to watch. It was on a Sunday. Everyone was watching that because it was nationally televised on a day where there weren't a lot of games on. And that is so cool for everybody in the program right now to get a taste of that, because that's what it is. Like, that's why you're here. Great game for the Shockers. We will come back. We'll talk more College Hoops. It's College Hoops busy Monday. It's an emotional weekend for college basketball. It's all Brockton Castor at Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you. Jake Valbrock, Tommy Caster alongside you. Max Power producing. Your legend begins aboard the Disney Destiny, the all-new ship from Disney Cruise Line, sailing November 2025. Log in and listen to KFH on Odyssey for a chance to win a trip for four to set sail on the Disney Destiny in this national contest. All you need to do is listen for an hour on the Odyssey app. Find out more at kfhradio.com. Shocker baseball gets a win on the road in their season opening series, go 1-2 against McNeese State. Shocker softball had just an unbelievably daunting task out. And I don't know if everybody, I know we're still in basketball mode, but a few things are getting underway. Softball had started with just a wild opening weekend. They were unbeaten, and then they've got to go play three top 25 teams out in Clearwater. And they hung right there against Kentucky. A&M, they were in that game for a while, and then it got away from them. And I did not see any of Florida State, but they went 1-4. But, you know, that's a building moment. So that stuff is underway, too. But we're basketball time, and I can't believe it's February 17th. I cannot believe it's February 17th. They go faster every single year, and we're trying to navigate the end of this college basketball season. And here we go. Sherry, not happy that we didn't talk on Facebook. You can also, by the way, this is where these conversations happen. Facebook, YouTube, X, you can always comment. Sherry, not happy with us for not talking Shockers in the first hour, even though we did, Sherry. We actually opened the show with it. And, but I get it. And that's what I'm talking about with Wichita State. That's what I want to see, Tommy. I want to see Shocker fans fired up that we spent a segment on KU in the first hour and a guest on K-State and hadn't gotten to Wichita State yet, and people be mad about it. That's good, right? That's what we whenever the fears I think that most of us talk about with Wichita State, that's the one that we fear the most, right? That people aren't fired up about Wichita State. That's the one that scares me to death, is that people are not engaged that way anymore. That's like when I look at that game on Sunday and just you're watching it and you're hearing it, that's what made that feel so good to me, is because it was like, there it is. Like, that's what we all love about Wichita State. And when, you know, you've gone through large portions of this season and last, and you're not seeing that, that stuff terrifies me. I'm like, they have to be able to break through all that and get back to where, man, Memphis is coming to town on a Sunday afternoon. Like, you got to be at that game. You at least have got to be taking that game in. You got to be listening to it with us over on KYN. You got to be watching it on TV, or you got to be there. And that's what felt so good about that. And that's what makes you feel so good today after you see it, is it just felt like normal again. And it's been a minute. It has been a minute since we've seen something like that. And so, yeah, we're glad that they did it. I'm glad that they won that game when they had that kind of environment. And guess what? All those people that were there, they're going to remember that. And maybe they'll go back the next time. And maybe we do start to get back to that place we all want to see this program. Because whether you're a KU fan, a K-State fan, a Shocker fan, if you live in Wichita, you want the Shockers to be really good. That's the beauty of that program. I've always said it feels like a pro team here because the city gets behind it. Whether you're an alumni or not, it's right there for you. And so, man, so happy that they were able to win that game yesterday. And that was so much fun.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is they've been so close before against Memphis, and a team like Memphis had been such a major thorn in the side of Wichita State forever, where they just have not been able to get over the hump. They've played Memphis so close over the last couple of years, and it just seemed like something would happen where Memphis would then ultimately get the win and just shock the Shockers. They were finally able to get that monkey off their back yesterday, and that's huge. It's massive, and I think that, you know, the frustrating things for me, and I think for everybody else, it's always been when they have fallen to teams that are nowhere near their caliber, at least the way that it looks on paper. These opponents, especially in conference play, are nowhere near their level of talent, and what the way that these games should play out usually don't play out that way. But then they'll go and they'll play a team like Memphis to single digits, and it takes a last second shot. Like, that's been the overly frustrating thing, I think, in the Paul Mills era up to this point. So the fact that they were able to finally get one over on Penny and the Tigers, number one, that's massive. And then number two, my hope is that then propels them, you know, and maybe it's some like internal locker room confidence that where they can say, look, like we took down the top dog in the conference, so we shouldn't fall flat to teams that are beneath us in the American. Like, we should handle our business. We are at the top of this conference as opposed to talent, or in regards to talent. We need to be able to go out there and handle our business with teams that we're supposed to beat. And that's been a struggle so far this season. I mean, let's be real. It has been.
Sure.
They've had an opportunity now to take what they were able to get from the Memphis game and build on that and get that momentum going. They're already on a 4-game winning streak. The next two are against teams that are right above them in the conference standings. And Florida.
The next four are against top tier teams.
Right. So you've got to take what you learned against Memphis and hopefully realize, like, hey, we did it once against the very top in the conference. We have the capability, we have the talent to be able to do it again against these other teams.
Well, and it has to be the greatest feeling for the coaches who can just say, we executed a game plan and we took down Memphis. So just keep doing that, right? Like, let's keep executing a game plan. It was a great game plan. A lot of credit to the coaches. They put Memphis in a position that Memphis was not comfortable in. Go put teams in a position they're not comfortable in. Make that your thing. Play angry. All the great, you know, they had the MTXE stuff on, like, but they haven't played angry enough at times this year. Like, I do think that's their best path. I mean, we heard, you know,
I mean, it's a cliche. Yeah, call it for what it is. It's a cliche, and that's fine.
It's a catchphrase, but that's like a slogan. But it's not that. I'm not saying like what I'm saying is that style of basketball, that play angry style of basketball, which is you push people around when they come into Charles Koch Arena, and you don't like you're going to get nasty. I think that stuff matters, and I don't know that. You know, this team has been nasty enough all the time this year, but that's the identity of a program. And it just also, in my opinion, happens to be their best path to winning these kinds of games is you got to get a little nasty. Like you're not going to out pretty. Wichita State's not going to out pretty anybody the rest of the way.
Yeah.
They're not going to come out and shoot the lights out on everybody. Like that's not going to happen.
I don't think that this team with this coach and these players necessarily need a catchphrase. I don't think they need a cliche. I don't think they need, you know, I don't necessarily think that it's like a, oh man, like, you know, they need to channel their inner MTXC or their inner play. They just need to go and do what they do. And what the game plan that they implemented against Memphis, where they were tough on the glass. They make clutch shots when it mattered the most. Like that identity, like I've said it before, like Ron Baker's not walking through those doors. Xavier McDaniel's not walking through those doors. They've got to develop their own identity in this program. And you know what? We've seen that more over the last four games than what we saw at any point during the beginning of this season, even probably going back to last season. Like they had developed their own identity, I think. That's propelled them to winning four in a row and taking down Memphis. We'll see. And I'm hopeful that it's more than just a flash in the pan in a four game collection of games. And it can be in more of like an 8-game stretch if it can carry on into the conference tournament and beyond. Keep in mind, you know, if they are able to continue to produce at a high level, we could be talking about a 20-win team when it's all said and done this year. We could potentially be talking about a team that makes a run in the conference tournament. We could potentially be talking about a team that gets some kind of postseason invitation. Like those things happen. They can happen. You've got to carry on more than a 4-game winning streak, but this has been a really, really good start to at least getting things back on track for Wichita State.
It's going to be a tough stretch. And you know, whether you hang play angry on the wall on a poster, I don't really care. But they need to play that way. It's what Kyle Lindstedt pointed to a week ago when we talked to him. They got to get back to that style of basketball. That's what they have to do. And I totally agree. And they did. They pushed Memphis around. They out-rebounded Memphis. Memphis is as physically imposing a basketball team as you could draw on paper, right? And they pushed them around at home. And they're going to have to push people around. You can't go play... Wichita State can't go play and hope they just all of a sudden start having a great shooting night. Like that's probably not going to happen for them. And if it does, it's icing on the cake, but that can't be the baseline. The baseline has to be the toughness and well, the rebounding. I mean, they've got Quincy Ballard out there, right? They've got enough size. Harlan Beverly is big for his position. Ronnie DeGray is sizable. Like that's something I really do think this team can do. And if they do it consistently down the stretch here, I think they're going to win a bunch of games. I also don't want to forget that they squeaked by UTSA and, you know, they also have those. So, you know, they've had the wins here, but man, at Florida Atlantic on a turn and then a quick turn back home to Tulane, UAB, North Texas, those are the next four. This is going to be a fun stretch, and I hope it is fun. I hope it's a really fun stretch because you're going to have four good games. Like you're at four as good a games most of the time as you're going to get in this conference, and they're coming in the next four while you're on a 4-game win streak. Guess what, by the way? Florida Atlantic's on a 5-game win streak, so you're not catching them off guard. They're hot too, and you got to go to their place. That's a long trip, and we know their pedigree. Their pedigree's been good for 3-4 years now.
4-0 in the next four is probably unrealistic.
that's a big,
you know, answer. but 3-1, I think, you know, had they not beaten Memphis yesterday, 3-1 probably would have been unrealistic, but I think they could probably go 3-1. My guess would be what's the one that probably stands out? The North Texas game out of the four. Maybe even Florida Atlantic on Thursday, the road. I mean, that one's going to be obviously a pretty tough test. But I do think that if you get out of it at 2-2, you know, yeah, like you would have probably loved to get another one there to be able to close that gap even more and to be able to improve your standings in the American. Because remember, and I brought this up before, I brought this up a couple of weeks ago, right as this winning streak was getting started, like at the very infancy of the four-game winning streak, I remember saying on this program, what the Shockers are playing for right now is an improved standing in the American, because what they're trying to do is they want to play their way out of having to play an early round game in the conference tournament. You want to be able to like take the first day or two off, you know, in the conference tournament. Like you don't want to have to be in a, what would it be like a, you know, 14-11 matchup or whatever it is in the American Conference tournament. Like you'd like to be able to get an opening round bye. And the only way that they can do that is if they improve in their standings in conference play. They've been able to do that in the last four games. They're now 5-7. You know, you're now around the middle of the conference. If you can gain a little bit more ground, get to 500 in conference play, maybe even have a winning record when it's all said and done in conference play, I think you'll take that, especially when it comes down to seeding in the conference tournament. Because if you can, again, go on a run in the conference tournament, you already took down Memphis once, you might have to do it again, but you've shown that you can, then there might be a backdoor run to the NCAA tournament. You never know.
Well, it's such an interesting year. In all honesty, because the way we saw the team play and begin their season, right, which included nice wins, Northern Iowa, Western Kentucky, St. Louis is a little bit different because of who was out there healthy. But remember, they beat Minnesota. East Tennessee State is a pretty good win. And then it just got confusing.
K-State.
Even though that's not the K-State we're currently seeing, it was K-State by 19 points.
It's a Big 12 team.
But there were moments where it was confusing, like UMKC, right? Like, wait, what was that? How much they got smashed by Florida. That was just like, ooh, okay. Like they had those moments and then it just unraveled. But if you look at, because we've seen, I think, very much the floor this year, and we've probably seen the ceiling. We probably saw it on Sunday. But if you look at both of those things and you think about what that ceiling is, there's not a team in the American that the Shockers shouldn't be able to beat. Now, I'm not saying they've got to go win them all, so don't misunderstand. What I'm saying is individually in those games, they got a chance to win any of them. Like, so one game at a time, all of that stuff is very true for this team. I think the obvious finish line is it a different place between them and K-State, but it's not all that different than what we're seeing out of K-State. The capability to beat any team is there that they'll play. Can they do it consistently, or can they do it consistently enough and not let the air that is so inflated the program on a Monday following a big Sunday win begin to deflate out? And we'll see, because three of these four games are on national television. That's a big deal for Wichita State right now. You don't like get these good performances going. Like people remember that stuff. Football's gone. There's no more football. Now people are channel surfing. It's like, oh, look, there's Wichita State. They're good again.
I know it's a total hypothetical here, but you know, let's say a 4-2 finish down the stretch in the regular season in conference play. That's probably realistic, probably on the table. You know, when you've got the next four that are against top tier opponents, and then, you know, you end with a home game against Tulsa, where, I mean, remember, they didn't play well when they were at Tulsa, when things were really, really bad a couple of weeks or a few weeks ago for the Shockers. But let's say 4-2 in conference play to end the regular season. At that point, you're looking at, what is that, a 19-12 overall record for the Shockers, mm-hmm. Going into the conference tournament,
and you win a game or two,
a 9-9, you're back to 500 in the conference season. And then at that point, you maybe try to grab a couple of games, you know, in the conference tournament. You know, I think there could, I'm not saying NCAA tournament here. Don't get me wrong. They don't have enough quality wins. They've got bad losses, but you could be talking about some kind of postseason invite. And if that happens, like, just think about this for a second. If that happens, let's say they're an NIT team, potentially. They're an NIT team, okay? When they're 1-7 in conference play and 11-10 overall, and everybody is ready to just absolutely bury this program and totally start over and throw it into the fire and blow the whole thing up, don't think anybody thought that any kind of postseason could even be on the table for Wichita State. 4-2 in their remaining conference games and a win or two in the conference tournament, that could get you there. That could get you there, but it all is predicated on the four-game winning streak that they're currently on right now and a ranked win against Memphis yesterday. You can't understate how important that is.
No, and if they're in position, they'll get an invite because people come to the games and these tournaments know that. But it's the point, and the reason I was so happy about yesterday is let's imagine a world where this is all successful a year or two from now and they're back to where we think they should be. That's where you'll look. It will be that game against Memphis. You'll look at this stretch of basketball, if that happens, is the reason it happens. Now the priority becomes make sure that wasn't a blip on the radar, right? Make sure that wasn't a one-off and you know, get after it, because these games are not easy. Like, these are tough games. This is absolutely the toughest stretch of basketball Wichita State will have played collectively over this season. Good news is they just won the first one of that stretch, and now you've got four more. You play all the top teams all at once. Tommy, it's hard to really grasp the disappointment of this KU basketball season so far, right? There's still a lot of basketball to be played. So we'll just call it up to this point, right? I don't want to put the end of things on it, because I think far too much of Bill Self to do that, quite honestly. But if you look at just up to this point singularly and the disappointment that has come with it up to this point, they already have more conference losses than Bill Self's ever had. They already have more losses in an entire season than Bill Self has ever had. I don't think he's ever finished worse than third in the Big 12. Right now they're tied for fifth. And when you hear those things, but then know where the expectations began to begin the year, which was preseason number one, which was, you know, a team with all the experience coming back, with the portal players that were brought in who were as highly coveted as really any that were out there, especially Rylan Griffin, AJ Storr. When you know all of that, and then you hear where they are now in the context of the program and where the program has been, man, what a bummer, right? What a wild, wild disappointment that you could have expectations so high and to have come so short of them up to this point. Again, I'm not putting a nail in any coffin with Bill Self there and the talent that they do have. But I do think it is right to look at up to this point, and up to this point, it's just been nuts. I mean, we're talking about a preseason number one that had wins over Duke, that had all of these things, that were supposed to be coming home to play in Wichita, that were supposed to compete for a Big 12 championship and be a national championship contender. And now it's like, man, are they middle of the pack in the Big 12? Are they even going to be able to get to the middle of the pack of the Big 12 by the time the dust settles? I can't even believe it. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. And I hate it. And it's so sad.
Yeah. I mean, I think that this team has shown that there isn't a whole lot of optimism, whether you're talking about the team themselves, you know, the players, are they optimistic with one another? Cause they sure don't look like it. The body language isn't there. Bill Self has probably been more critical of this team publicly than a lot of other teams that I remember. I know that, like, there have been times over the course of the 20 plus years that he's been at KU where he's been critical of his teams, but I certainly don't recall, you know, the last time he's been this consistently critical. You know, and he basically, after the game on Saturday, was like, to be honest, I don't know what to tell him anymore. Like, I don't know what to tell him, you know, to get them to perform. It reminds me an awful lot. Do you remember that stretch of basketball at Wichita State with Greg Marshall, when Greg Marshall in post game was like, honestly, I don't even know what to tell him anymore. Like, I don't even know how to coach him. I don't know what to do. Like, they're just not buying in. The year that they had all the freshmen, and then there were the transfers and all that. It reminds me kind of that a little bit, because Bill Self is saying a lot of those same things. Like, he's just flat out is like, I don't know how to reach him. I don't know what to do to get them up and ready to go for the game and locked in and consistent. One of the examples he used from the Utah game was that they started off the game in some kind of defensive set that apparently they had been working on for several days leading up to the game. And Self said after the game that the players were surprised that they were running that defensive set. And it's like, guys, we've been working on this for the last several days leading up to this game. Why are you surprised? How are you surprised? Like, are you not locked in? Are you not paying attention? Are you not studying the way that you should? Like, it's a combination of a lot of different things. And to me, it shows that while there may be really, really talented individual performers on this team, that doesn't overcompensate. That doesn't make up for the fact that collectively they're not getting the job done.
But isn't that what's part of, that's part of the reason it's so surprising to me is because it, and this is on, it's on me. I think it's on most people. That was the thing that you felt like, because they have so much experience coming back, that wasn't going to be a problem, right? Most of the team, like, they had this luxury of bringing it all back. That's part of the biggest surprise to me is that, because that didn't seem like they solved what we thought was the problem last year. They brought some shooters in, right? They did all this and nothing changed. Like, it is very much like, in fact, it's worse than it was a year ago. I went back and looked. It's like, it's hard to put it in context because I was like, well, I even said this in the last hour, we've seen them struggle down the stretch and then it clicks by the end of it. And I was like, but that struggling, and it was the national championship year was one of these, was they lost a couple of Big 12 games in a row right before the end of the season. And then, of course, and then they go on their run. But that season, to me, I remember that season because people are like, oh, you know, David McCormick's not good enough down low for them for them to do this. Remy Martin's not working out, like all this stuff. And then they got there anyway. But even like the struggles at that point, where they were in a position to win the Big 12, and I think they tied that year for the Big 12 title, and they lost like two in a row. Now we're looking at, like, by any way you look at it, the least successful Bill Self season. Now, most teams would love to have this as your worst season, but that's what we're looking at the moment. And I don't think, and you know, great viewers and listeners like Rick, who are at their wits' end with this KU team, absolutely no chance tomorrow night too, he says, for KU. And I think you're probably about at this point too, Tommy, based on the conversations we have. But like that is now the down point. And that's what's so crazy. That is the point of no return. Like, there's no chance for this team, which is wild for me to even think about. And I'm not that far off of that. But it's wild to think about when you think about where this team was preseason, and honestly, where they were playing at the beginning of the season, right? It's not even like we had these wild expectations and they've never led up to them. Well, that's not true at all. They beat a good North Texas team by 12 early in the year. They beat Michigan State. We know that. They had the close loss to Dayton, and that was like the lone, you know, sorry. They had the Michigan State win. They didn't play North Texas. They played North Carolina is what I meant to say. They have the win over North Carolina. They have the win over Michigan State. They have the win over Duke. They get this season. They had what did they start? Like 9-10-0 or something? And then you had Creighton.
But look.
And then you had Creighton and Missouri, and it was like, ugh, where did that come from?
Well, and look, like, since Thanksgiving, if you take everything that they did pre-Thanksgiving out of the equation, I saw this stat after the game. They're 1-6 against teams that are projected to be in the NCAA tournament. 1-6. The only win was the home win against Iowa State on Big Monday. That's it. 1-6 since Thanksgiving on teams that are currently right now projected to be in the NCAA tournament. That's why I've been saying for like the last week or so, for me, the largest concern that I can think of is they're going to get bounced early in the NCAA tournament. When they go up against a team, and I know that, like, we're talking about the Utah game, they're not a tournament team. They're not a bad team, but they're not a great team. I don't even really care about that necessarily. I'm thinking about more of the higher level opponents that they've either faced in the Big 12 or late in the non-conference that they haven't beaten.
They're going to face teams like that in the NCAA tournament, and they're going to go home early. They're going to go home the opening weekend. Whether they win a game, I don't even know if they'll do that. But with the way that they've been playing since Thanksgiving against teams that are tournament teams, they've not been playing well at all. On top of that, how about this for a stat? In the last 2 years, KU is 6-13 on the road. 6-13 in road games. Now, again, March Madness, you're not playing a true road game. You're playing on a neutral court. And, you know, early on this season, KU played a few, you know, neutral court games where they played really well against the top tier opponents. But overall, when they've been away from Allen Fieldhouse, they've not been good the last 2 years. Like, they've lost more than double the games that they've won in true road games. That's concerning. The fact that they can't win on the road and the fact that they're not beating tournament teams, those things combined are symptoms of a larger issue here that I don't think this team has the toughness. I don't think they have the execution. I don't think they have the focus. And I don't think they have even just the general talent outside of Hunter Dickinson to really be able to make any kind of noise in March.
Well, look, I agree with all of it. This year to last year feels a little different. Last year, we knew what the recipe was to beat them, right? Like, I remember, like, oh no, they play a good 3-point shooting team. They're going to be in real trouble. That's what we kept saying last year. It was obviously true. Can you even point to what the other team needs to be able to do well to beat KU? Because now it feels more like
KU, they can do a variety of things.
KU chose not to show up today.
Right.
KU doesn't have a 2-game winning streak in its last 7 games.
Yeah.
They've even won 2 in a row since like late January. It's been 7 games since they won 2 in a row.
We and everybody else have put a lot of criticism on the big 3, right? And I think deservedly so. Yeah, criticism, like there are things
deserves.
There are there. Yeah, there are things with, you know, Dickinson that frustrate people. There are things with Harrison Adams that absolutely frustrate people. Like, that's all well and good. But how about this for another stat that I just found? It's not good to take, you know, individual plus minuses in individual games because things can vary so much. But how about you take it in a larger scale? In Big 12 play, there are 2 players right now for Kansas where their plus minus is in the minus, and that's Rylan Griffin and AJ Storr. Those are the only 2 players on the team where in Big 12 play, all of the conference games, those 2 guys have been the worst out of everybody on the entire roster. I know plus minus, you know, it's kind of deceiving because it takes a lot of, you know, different things into consideration, the minutes played and like that sort of thing. But those 2 guys have not consistently shown up at all in Big 12 play. And when you've got, and I'm going to take Hunter Dickinson out of the picture here. When you've got KJ Adams and DeJuan Harris, who you know are going to get significant minutes, but they're already probably playing at about their ceiling, you have to have other production. And if it's not coming from those newcomers, if they're not able to consistently make it happen, they're in big time trouble.
And we saw a game, because they both got in foul trouble to varying degrees, where Dickinson and Adams didn't play as many minutes as they normally do, and nobody stepped up, right? The opportunity was there, and nobody took it. Nobody seized it. So look, I don't know. I'm not, we have too much basketball to play for me to make proclamations with them as far as February 17th. The proclamation I can make is how disappointing it's been so far and how many things are going wrong and affected by it. As far as what can happen down the stretch, it's college basketball. It's Bill Self. Something could spark a team to get back to, again, the team that was able to beat Duke and Michigan State, North Carolina, not North Texas, North Carolina this year. Like those, you know, not that North Carolina is great, but at the time that was a big time win. Wildly disappointing. We'll come back. We'll look ahead. K-State plays tonight. Don't go away. Sports Day.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy 2. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy 2. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy 2, get 3 free of equal or lesser value when you buy 5. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.